Der Gabal Verlag präsentiert ein ganz persönliches Kapitel der Autoren. Heute mit Todd Davis im Gespräch mit Annie Oswald über sein Buch Werde besser. 15 bewährte Strategien zum Aufbau effektiver Beziehungen im Job.
Good afternoon, Todd. It's great to see you again.
Hi, Annie. It's great to be here.
Hey, we are doing this for our good friends, Gabal Verlag in Germany. They're about to launch Get Better for us.
Well, hello, good friends in Germany.
They are our publishers of The Seven Habits, and they've done a fantastic job for us.
Terrific.
In fact, last October, they just did their 50th print edition of The Seven Habits and had a great
wow.
big jubilee event. So we're
awesome.
Really, really happy to have them be our partners. They kind of want us to talk to you a little bit about, tell us about Get Better and what it means to you.
Get Better or Werde Besser?
Very good.
Been working on that, yes.
I should say wunderbar. But what have you been doing since the book launched in the English language in November 2017?
Well, it has been quite a whirlwind that our company has had me on. It's been really exciting. Lots of different speaking engagements, keynotes, and work sessions, we call them, around the world. In fact, probably averaging one or two a week. And then last November, I was actually out around the globe for 3 weeks in 7 different countries, speaking at big conferences, human resource conferences, and the like. So it's been a lot of activity. We had several organizations when we first launched the book. We had a program where if they bought, you know, several hundred books that and covered my expenses, I'd go out and do a keynote for them. So I spent the year fulfilling that obligation.
Great. And you'd go to Deutschland if they invited you, right?
And I would absolutely go over there. I'd have to brush up on the German that I took in the 7th grade.
Great. Well, tell us, Todd, you've been here at Franklin Covey for a couple of decades
going
now.
Going on 23 years.
Congratulations. Tell us, you know, in everything you've learned and all the things you've wrote about, what do you find to be the most common behavioral stumbling block that people find that makes or breaks a career?
Yeah, well, I've learned about a lot of stumbling blocks from my own trips, okay? But I would say in my observation and my coaching of others, if I had to narrow it down, one of them is patience. People, which, you know, it's good to have excitement and passion around climbing up the career ladder and having different opportunities. And what I found, those who are very successful at doing that versus the stumbling block are those who get a little bit anxious and they want to move up faster than the next person. Whereas those people who just continually knock it out of the park. That's a term we use over here, but they really do a phenomenal job in the current role they're in. They have opportunities just continually open up to them. Other people who they do an okay job in their role, but then they're ready to move on to the next thing. They're not always selected or looked at. And so I think patience, you know, doing A-plus work or excellent work in the current role you're in, if you will do that and do it well, opportunities continue to open up for you.
Great. So it's the lack of patience that's the stumbling block.
It's one of them, yes. And then kind of tied to that, I've seen in my career, both at this company and other companies, people who are in a role, the role's not going as well as they would like it to. And so they're seen as more or less trying to escape from that role, but stay within the company versus they've really mastered that role and now they're ready to add value to the company in another area. So sometimes, you know, just now I'm not suggesting you stay in a role that you're not skilled to do, but show that you can accomplish with excellence what you're currently doing. And then, like I said, you'll have opportunities open up to you.
Great, great. I think I find that to be true in my career too.
Well, you're a great example of someone who is excellent in the roles they've had.
I'm like you, Todd. I've been here many years and we've been patient. So what's the number one thing you think you should do to improve, or that not just you, but as we speak to our audience, what's the number one thing people can do to improve relationships at work?
Yeah, it's a great question. Well, there are 15 of them, actually. in the Werde Besser book, I've written, you know, 15 proven practices to build effective relationships at work. And it really is, each one of these 15 were carefully selected based on my experience, not because I'm the guru, but because I've been in a role for the majority of my career where I've been observing and coaching others, leaders and others. But to answer your question, I would say the one thing I would narrow it down to, the number one thing people could do, is look at things from the other person's perspective. Mm. Doesn't mean you need to agree with them or disagree with them or debate with them, but I have found those people who are most successful in their relationships, and I don't mean they're just nice to be around, but they're very effective at influencing others, it's because they take the time to understand the other person's perspective. Once we do that, once I think, well, gosh, I wonder how Annie would be viewing this, or I wonder, based on, you know, where Annie's coming from, how she sees this, then I'm just in a much better position to, what I like to say is, meet her where she's at, mm-hmm. you know, and we're all the same in this regard. When we feel understood, then we're just that much more open to collaboration and to discussing how we might go about addressing an issue or an opportunity. So look at things from the other person's perspective.
I can hear a lot of the seven habits, foundational principles in your answers. And so I find that to be really relevant to what we're talking about here. So thank you for doing that, because I know Dr. Covey had such an impact on this book and on everything you've done.
Absolutely. These 15 practices aren't 15 practices that I created or they're new. Many of them are from our current content, which, you know, foundational to our organization is the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And so what the book is for isn't to say, oh, here's something you never thought of before. It's to say, here's a behavior or a practice that in the context of relationships, creating very effective relationships at work, if you will do this practice more. And they're pulled from primarily 7 Habits, but also our Speed of Trust and our 4 Disciplines and the various content that I've been privileged to be a part of or experience in my 23 years here.
Right. Well, it takes me back to another question I wanted to ask you, and it was about how can you and I work on our relationships here, how can we impact and affect retaining talent within a company?
Yeah. Boy, I was doing an interview the other day and they were asking a very similar question of what is the key to attracting and retaining top talent? And my answer kind of caught them by surprise, but I don't just believe it. I've seen it time and time again. It is those organizations that walk their talk. They're not perfect. We're not perfect here at Franklin Covey, but they try as best they can and they get everyone in the organization as best they can to model that mission statement that's posted on the wall or those value statements, because talent, especially in the current economy, at least in the U.S., there is a true war on talent. I mean, talent kind of if you're talented, you have your pick of many opportunities. And so you think about you and me, where do we want to go? We want to go where the culture is rich and inviting and engaging, and people do model the very things that they say they're going to model and be about. So you do walk their talk. And so the number one thing I talk to organizations about is being authentic to who you really say you are, because that's very attractive to talent. And then I think about our top talent here at Franklin Covey and the reason that people stay. You've been here how long?
25 years.
Yeah, 25 years. And we have people, you know, 23 years, 25 years, 30 years. The reason they stay is because they're so engaged with the culture that's there. So I would say the number one thing organizations can do to attract and retain top talent is be very authentic to who you say you are and really walk your talk.
Right. And that's from the top down.
And that's absolutely from the top down. It takes everyone, you know, to shape the culture. Every one of us helps shape the culture. But boy, are leaders in a great position, because what the leader values gets valued. And so when she is modeling or doing something a certain way, boy, that's what people glom onto.
Great. I love that. So now I'm going to ask you a personal question.
Uh-oh.
So of all these 15 proven practices, which is the most difficult for you?
Yeah. Every one of them.
Oh, come on.
No, I certainly am working on all of them all the time. I haven't met anyone. People are certainly better at some than others, but no one I don't think ever masters all of them. But boy, that's a great question. I would say there are a few that I struggle with the most, but probably practice number 4, which is avoid the pinball syndrome. The pinball syndrome being, and I'm sure they have these over in Germany, mm-hmm. where you pull the plunger back and the ball goes into the machine and you've got these flippers on either side and you're trying to keep it going as long as you can, bouncing around from bumpers to whistles to bells. And it's stimulating, it's exciting, it's a game. But how often do I get to the end of my day or week and I've been busy and bouncing mm-hmm. around from one thing to the next, thinking how important I am because I'm so busy. And yet when I really evaluate my week, have I accomplished the most important things? it's a struggle. When I talk with people in these keynotes and presentations around the world, it's probably the one that most people raise their hand on that they too struggle with the most. So I think it's a symptom of our ever grow. We're all in a rush, you know, world,
right.
and we need to do things faster and be competitive with everybody else. And so it is a struggle. And of course, the antidote for that is just pause, stop before the day begins, stop before the week begins, mm-hmm. decide what is most important. Usually relationships fall into that category. And then make sure that in the what we call a moment of truth during the week, when the urgencies come up, that you still hold true to the times you've blocked out for those most important things.
Great. Thank you. Well, I can say after having read the book, probably my favorite story is your story, your relationship with your daughter, Sydney. I mean, it's just it's a great story, and I think the readers are going to love that when they read that.
Oh, thank you. Well, yeah. It's a story very meaningful to me, excuse me, not only because she's my daughter, but it truly was such a paradigm shift for me when I saw the potential in someone that I hadn't been seen previously, that it impacts me every day at work with my coworkers, with my bosses, with people, just to remember there's so much more behind what you see in people and what they're capable of.
Great. I'm just going to kind of, just to wrap this up, ask you a couple questions because you've been here so many years and you personally knew Dr. Covey.
Yes.
Tell us just a little bit. Do you have any specific story you'd like to share, that an incident or something you did with Dr. Covey that just brings
wow.
him back?
Or I have not. In all the interviews I've done, I have not been asked that. Boy, I was fortunate, as you mentioned, for many years to work directly with him. Earlier in my career, I worked in the innovations department on several videos that he was in. And I don't know about a specific incident other than watching him on camera and off camera and traveling with him a little bit to see him being the same person everywhere. He was very authentic that way, which, you know, is maybe not a surprise, but also just reaffirming to know that the principles that he taught, and he admitted, you know, he certainly wasn't perfect and was working on them all the time, but he was very mindful of others. He was very respectful of everyone, regardless of their title. He was very encouraging. He really did. You saw the seven habits in everything that he did. So I would just say that. I do remember one particular video we were filming once on this topic of pinball syndrome. We weren't calling it that then, but we asked him, a group of us that during a filming said, Dr. Covey, if you could only remember one thing of all the things you teach about being effective, what would it be? And he said, boy, that would be really tough, but it would be this, to plan each week before the week begins. And now some people might think, gosh, of all the profound, deep stuff, he talks about weekly planning, but the point wasn't the weekly planning. It was the principle behind taking a moment, and not just once a year, but at a you know, consistent time, taking a moment to recalibrate and say, what's important to me? You know, what do I really want to spend? Where do I want to spend my time this week? So that's always stuck with me, too, that, you know, he said of all the things to be effective, it would be thinking on a regular basis, in his case, a week, on what's most important to him and recalibrating to that.
Great. Well, thanks so much for spending time with us and for helping our partners celebrate and launch Wer da Besser.
Well, we love our partners in Germany and everywhere else.
Yeah. So thanks again for coming in, and we wish them much success, and we wish you much success.
Thank you very much.
Wer da Besser. 15 bewährte Strategien zum Aufbau effektiver Beziehungen im Job. Das neue Buch von Todd Davis, erschienen im Gabal Verlag. Mehr Informationen finden Sie unter gabal-verlag.de.